welcome him to his presentation. I'm happy to see another British Columbian Canadian here. He's representing the Kwakwaka language, which is located on the British Columbia coast, which is in Western Canada, speaking about his school program on Indigenous knowledge in schools. William Lumpt, thank you.
Mahalo. Aloha. Kaila Kasa Lil Kalakle Da Hawaiian. O la kela iki dida Maya hala dahos glidagola glutwis a witna guisi. I canoke kats dukola uch da kwe. Nugwa am Peter. Gayutan lach Ottawa. Bagwansa kaho Ogwadi. Ogwadi. Glutwe Kyayusan Lach Zogwadi. Lacheda, Vancouver, Victoria, Ogwadi. Lacha Guatsalasida, Vancouver Island. A little bay right here. Bagunsa la hochta ichimichi ako glatsi kats kwakwala. A small school. Ichimichi Learning Center, let's go back here, is a high school located on the Tsolgwadi Reserve. There's approximately 50 students in the school, most of whom come from the reserve that the school is on. The school is right, almost on the beach, so you can look out the windows of the school and a few more steps and you're onto the area where the high tide would come in. In 1964, the Gwatsalat Nakwato people lived on this side, on the mainland of BC, and the government moved them and amalgamated these two tribes and put them together in this small community right next to the town of Port Hardy in BC. Port Hardy has about 4,000 people, and Tsolgwadi has right now about 850. So the background of the Gwatsalat Nakwaitauk people is similar to many of the indigenous nations throughout the world, where there's been dislocated from their location and were sent to residential schools. So at present there's probably only about 20 elders left who are fluent first language speakers in the community. Anybody else need a handout here? Put your hand up and zip around. So what I'm going to do is the study focuses on a film studies project that the school does every year. I'm going to report to you on one that was done in 2013, which was sort of at the beginning of their work in film studies. During this unit, which fits into their technological curriculum, the students develop a concept of their project and collaborate with elders. They're supported as well by a professional film crew that comes in and works with the students for a week. And the students work with the film crew and the producer to create projects that are important to themselves, that is the students, their communities, and often have a very family-focused production value. I first viewed these videos when I was visiting in Tsolgwadi in 2013, 2014, and at the time I was very intrigued by them because they contained a lot of traditional information that was highly culturally relevant, and it seemed to be a good way of putting across a lot of the information, as it was very much student-driven. Ikimiki is, over the period of the last 4 or 5 years, slowly developing an integrated curriculum program where they hope to have the language, that's Kwakwala, or what they refer to it as Bakwankala, which means the language of the native people. And they want to integrate as much as possible the language lessons within the curriculum structure within the province of British Columbia. So, for example, that when the students are working in a technology, doing reading, working towards the technology credit, they're doing a lot of traditional, they're doing filming of traditional locations, activities, and beginning to use words in the language that relate to the activities they're filming. So this model is very much based on the concepts of the two-world view from the Hilo Hawaiian model and the demonstration school. And I refer to the article by Wilson and Kamana in 2014 that was very clearly laid out some of the structural properties of the two-world view. And Tolgwadi, these are still very much in the conceptual phase. They're in the teacher's professional development plans, and they're in the school plans as part of what they want to do. And they had started this with these technology programs. So in this sense, that the language work is then begins to get used as a medium of instruction, not necessarily as just the result and an item to be studied. The theoretical structure that I used to analyze the videos was basically I began with action research, chatting to the elders, and my goal here was to find out what was in the videos and how could we tease out information that we could use to develop new items. And then I'm using an applied linguistics theory that goes back to the work of Vygotsky, where we recognize that communication occurs while we engage in activities with others. So if you're going out fishing for halibut, you're going to be using language that's appropriate to that particular activity. It's located in the area where you're going to be fishing for halibut. There's going to be specific locational terms, different names for the places that you're at, which are different from other places where you, say, might be going to go clam gathering. So that activity theory gives us a way of approaching this integrated way of looking at communication, and enables us then to sort of look at that and say we need to develop some lesson plans and some units of study that keep in mind not just, say, the grammar or the phonology, but the whole of the communicative aspect of things. And this was very much in keeping with the wishes and desires of the elders in the community, is to integrate information. So what I thought I would do sort of next would be to, wrong button here, there. Where did my video go? Ah, here we are. Now, if this is any luck. So this is an example, well, this is the video of one of the students, just to give you an idea of what they were doing. Oop. Buttons are a little sensitive here.
Yo weeksas nugwa mraya wakis ga yuklin lach guskimu o mint gakukla kuns yachindas. Our people have invented hundreds of brilliant methods for catching fish. Klu mint yachin bo yi klukwayu. Here we have Nakwadoh elder Sally Bruce telling us about them.
The Indian hooks was made out of, I think, from the sharpest part was made from the fish, and the other part was made from yew wood, and the string was the bark from the tree. And the only bait that he ever used was the tommy cod. None other than tommy cod.
By he, Sally means hitman, oompa os gigame, John Noli Watle, who taught her a lot about fishing.
And only use the bait once, and you have to take it off if you catch a halibut. You know, they won't go near that hook if a halibut's been caught on that hook. You have to change it every time you catch a halibut. I didn't like to go by white man's ways. It was always Indian ways because you catch fish better.
Gaila Kesla Chun Nogadich Sally Bruce for sharing. Hus Nu Yims Sa Gligla Glola. La Munsquakla.
What we were interested in doing is looking at what was in the video, what languages in the video that was Kwakwala, what visuals were in the video, and I then went through the process of kind of counting how many minutes on the timeline we had the Bakwam Kyala, how many minutes on the timeline did we have traditional, culturally appropriate items on the timeline. And through a collaboration with the elders, I would look at it, and they give it the thumbs up or information about what was going on. It could be a map. So if I was taking a look at a map that might show up in the video, I'd say, okay, the map showed up for 4 seconds. So that was so much percent of a 2-minute video. And then as well, I was looking for overlapping information. And so, for example, this is from another video where the grandfather of the student who's made the video used to live on a float house. So here we have the picture of the float house. Now, the grandfather drew that picture to try and give a sense of what it was like. So we have not only a float house, but we've got the area of Sagwambala, which is one of the traditional areas on the mainland of British Columbia where they used to live. It gives you quite a bit of technological information relative to the setting. So if we look at the handout, I can show you kind of where we ended up. So I looked at these multiple times when we had more than one visual or connected with an audio or written information. So the more traditional information there was on the video, the darker the graphic lines were. So looking at language first, there was not a lot of language, not much Kwakwala in the videos. Some of the videos had none. They were all in English. The one I showed you just now had the most amount of audio in Kwakwala by a student who would be a beginner learner. On the other hand, we did get a lot of culturally relevant information. So in terms of about 37% of the videos had either irrelevant information or non-traditional information, whereas the rest had traditional information. Some of the information that was coded had significant amounts of overlapping pieces, so there'd be an audio and more than one visual to support the concept in mind, so that if you aggregate that, 62.27% of the video, averaging it out on the videos, were presenting traditional contextualized information, and only 37% was not contextualized. So as an analysis, the videos provide evidence that the collaboration between the students and the elders reflects the traditions deemed significant to the elders. They include these, among things, these items here. Traditional territory over on the mainland was a really big, important point for them. The connections among the traditional activities, settings, and languages are fundamental. This is an example of their village 50, 60 years ago. These were the more important the items were for the elders. It seemed that this connected with the simultaneous multimodal presentation information that was evident on the timeline in the videos. So we had a number of different things that showed up that were social cultural information, contextualized activities, and since then we've been looking at ways of improving the amount of language in the videos, and we'll be doing a video coming up probably in September this coming year. Right now the students are engaged in doing language activities and science over phases of the moon and tides for clam digging, and when's the right time to go clam digging. Well, it's not at high tide. So, and so we do language lessons, and I made one of these Jeopardy games that, you can get on the web and you can have questions and they have to think of the answer. And initially we started out with put that word in Kwakwala and what's the word in English, and then we move up to the whole things in Kwakwala. Questions like, can you go walking on the tide flats at high tide? And that would be in Kwakwala, and then of course the kids have to say yes or no. So, and then when they actually then go out to go clam digging and preparing it, they've got the vocabulary and the structures that might go with the activities that we're doing. And we related that to their, these are 8th grade and 9th grade students, and so we looked in their 8th grade and 9th grade science lessons, which had tides and phases of the moon. It's probably similar to your grade levels, and so we put them all together and tried to come up with how the right words for the different phases of moon that were culturally appropriate to the Gwatslat Nakwashdaw people. There we are. Any questions? Yes?
More than a question or comment. This is fascinating because what you're doing is taking the strength that the kids have, that connection between the elders and the kids, the language is still there, and then strengthening the other areas. And it's true though that language, culture, and place are deeply intertwined, but you can have one that's really strong and then branch out to make it all come together.
Mm-hmm. Very good point, yes.
Amazing.
Well, it's not me, it's the kids, right? They're doing a great job, right?
Thank you for
sharing. Oh, you're welcome. It's real fun to see the kids, and then they're so shy a lot of the time, especially when they're 13, 14, 15 years old, and then. But then questions like that, well, can you walk on the beach at high tide? A lot of them, you wouldn't think they would get that because it's fairly, long, involved sentence, but then they go, key, which means no, it's kind of like, oh, you got it, right? So it's kind of fun because, as I say, the beach is right out in front of the school, so that's where they go to hang out. Yes?
I really like what you're doing. I'm interested that you're using activity theory.
Yes.
So when you look at the cultural historical activity theory, are you finding that the videos become a piece of the curriculum?
Oh, yeah.
And then the curriculum is actually becoming more complex. And then do you find that more of the students are interested in science or STEM? And I don't know how long this has been going on, but are people looking at that too?
Very good point. I guess there's two parts to that question. One is activity theory, and yes, I use CHAT, and because I need to account for the historical nature of all these things, because they're, you know, education has not been the best circumstances over the last 100 years. So there's all that historical piece,
right.
And then the fact that where Talgwadi is, just as another instance, when we're talking about being on the beach, when the group were first moved to the Port Hardy area, the town had built a sewage outflow, which is right beside where their beach is. And so for the last 40 years, it's had it's been contaminated.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So I use that just as a couple of examples of how history plays into what you can do with curriculum,
right.
And how being like that far from the beach is nice, because I can say, is it high tide, is it low tide? It's really contextualized, but then can we go digging clams there? Well, no. And then that's another science lesson for the grade 11 and 12s, and where they deal with ecology.
Right.
So, yeah. And then the other piece is, if you look at it from activity theory, all of these videos and all of the activities that occur in this multi-dimensional communication system become part of the history themselves.
Right.
So I guess part of the concept long range would be some of these videos then can become part of what we do in the elementary school.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we can do the kids in the high school can be part of the process then to build our program up in K to 6, for example. Yeah.
Do they have a life on YouTube or how?
Yeah, this is, oh yes, sorry. Yeah. I did, on your sheet there, there's the, on this side, there's a link to the 6 videos.
Yeah.
And that's a nice thing. When things go on the web and they're in the public domain, then all of you can look at this and do your own analysis and say, oh, Peter, you're an idiot. You just should have looked at it this way, you know, like whatever. So I mean, it's ultimately, the goal here is that if we can do these kinds of projects and use things like activity theory, and the main, one of the main pieces, how am I doing for time here?
Yeah. We have 5 minutes.
Okay. The main thing that activity theory really helped me with was to be able to focus down on a unit of analysis and specifically handle the activity setting, because that was like the number one piece. We had to locate all the quintessential location is back where they came from. It's not where they are now. And so all of the band council's decision-making processes for their territory reclamation program is to reestablish the clam gardens at their one of their village sites, and we'll probably be using the senior high school kids to go out and do that work with the geography team that's doing that. So that's, we're sort of working slowly to introduce words for clams and tide and moon, and then we can then, when we get back to the territories, they'll refurbish their traditional clam garden areas as one of the projects that the students at the school can do.
Real quick question, are you tied in with the scientists then? Because you're building new knowledge.
Right, yes. The band, it's not me personally, but the band itself has a number of employees with their band to, I mean, they have an economic development corporation that deals with fisheries and has, you know, crab operation. They have another, and part of that is doing, they have some a couple of archaeologists that are looking at their traditional territory and things like the clam gardens. And the idea is that as we get a little bit closer, we can get the students in the school engaged in helping to reclaim some of that technology to move the program forward. So the science teachers get on board and they use Kwakwala terms in their classes, and the Kwakwala teacher does some of the science that goes with that. So it's I mean, it's just in its infancy, the program, but the concept is there. You have to look at the curriculum, look at the traditional technology, look at what the band wants to do. It's nice because the school can draw on all these professionals that just work two doors down in the band office. So the students, the language then can be contextualized and, you know, do all those good things that Vygotsky talked about to improve that. Okay, yeah. Thank you. That was... Thanks.